Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Football Friday, Super Wild Card Weekend Edition here on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all new pre-owned inventory. A great service department and sales staff. And that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And with that service department and sales staff, they'll get everything hooked up what you need to protect what matters most, whether it's a state inspection, got to replace a part, quick oil change. They got you covered at Sunbury Motors. And every Friday show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now for Super Wildcard Weekend. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Six great flavors of slushies as well, though I don't know if I necessarily recommend that this weekend. But it's all at Sunbury, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street at Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Lots to get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend. Eagles, Bucks, Sunday at 1, Steelers, Chiefs, Sunday Night Football. You even get a Monday night game to keep the party going if you so choose. You got games tomorrow afternoon. Not only that, you got Penn State, Ohio State Sunday. You'll warm up with that a little bit. Local hoops here at home. There you go. You got a lot to celebrate and enjoy some libations. Thanks to our friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. So we got Merrill Reese today, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles at 3:35. Jerry Dulac, our good buddy, at 4:06 from the Steelers Radio Network. And then the King joins us, and we will pick said games. So we have a fun Football Friday in store, and on Monday we'll keep it going. Tom McCarthy, of course, you know him as the Phil's broadcaster on NBC Sports Philly, but he does the NFL and CBS. He just filled in for Jim Nance last week, and he's going to be calling Eagles-Bucks on Sunday with Ron Jaworski on Westwood One. So he's going to join us Monday at 4:06 to recap what hopefully will be, at least in my eyes, an Eagles W, upset W. And as Steve and I conversed yesterday, I feel pretty good about this game. I do. I know it's a tall order. There's plenty of things that worry about me with this game. Can the Eagles, obviously there's Brady. Can the Eagles get pressure on him? Is Jonathan Gannon just going to sit back and let Brady pick them apart? Because if they do, it's going to be a long day. And also, can the Eagles handle Gronk? They really don't have a good matchup for him, and that's kind of my biggest worry in all this. So that's kind of where I stand. Offensively, I think the Eagles can definitely keep themselves in this thing. I get Tampa Bay's third against the run, but I like the game plan that Steve talked about yesterday. Run the football, but keep it up tempo. And I think that's a good possibility that Nick Sirianni's going to do that. And looks like Miles Sanders will be full go. He doesn't have anything on his hand, it looks like, his broken hand. Jordan Howard's another week healthier. Boston Scott's been terrific since he's been in the lineup. So the Eagles have a good 1-2-3 punch. And, of course, you have the Jalen Hurts factor. I mean, this offense is different, totally different, than when they face each other in mid-October, when the Eagles only had, I think, 213 yards of total offense in that game. And they still nearly came back and won the game. They made at least made things interesting late. They were down 28-7 and ended up making it 28-22 in the game in October on a Thursday night. We'll see how it plays out. For the Steelers, on the other hand, I wish I'd be a little more optimistic, but I didn't like how things went the first time around, and I think things could go very similarly. I just don't like the way things have been offensively for the Steelers lately. I mean, Najee Harris is banged up. Despite it being a good, a dramatic and good win last week in Baltimore, that offense was still dreadful. It's just not consistent enough for me to keep up with Pat Mahomes. But we'll see. Anything can happen. So, the Steelers are playing with house money when it comes to their matchup with the Chiefs.
You know what's interesting?
Yes.
I was literally just listening to a show driving in. All right? And the host of the show, it's a national show.
Okay.
Says there's only one team that really is not worthy of being in the playoffs that's in. You know who he said?
Let me guess. The Eagles?
Yes.
There you go.
Now, look, I would have said the Steelers.
I would agree. I think if you compare the two, I think the Eagles are the better team.
I would say probably. But again, here's the Eagles' biggest issue in terms of perception. They ain't beat anybody.
Yeah, the schedule was favorable in the second half of the season. There's no question about it.
The schedule was favorable the whole season.
I mean, they had some rough goes early, and they lost those games, of course, which fulfills the argument. So it wasn't an easy schedule to start the year. It was easy the second half of the season. Yeah.
Rough goes. They had the easiest schedule in the NFL by a wide margin. And their wins are over Atlanta, Carolina, two over Washington, two over the Giants, the Jets, Detroit. That's why the Eagles are not getting a lot of respect, because a lot of people just don't know. Like, they did some good things to their credit, because you got to beat who's in front of you. They don't control the schedule. The NFL gives them a schedule, and they do it based on finish the year before. But that's where the curiosity about the Eagles comes in. A lot of people just don't know how good they are, because, to be honest with you, there's not a game in there we'd sit back and go, wow.
But all I'm saying is,
they've arrived.
This was the teams they faced early in the first 8 weeks. You had the Cowboys, I know, they got their butts kicked. They had the Chiefs, they got their butts kicked. Tampa Bay, they made things interesting late, but they were down 28-7. They were a disaster at Las Vegas, and they lost a close game to the Chargers. That was the first half of the season, minus the couple wins they had there with Atlanta and Carolina and Detroit.
And San Francisco.
Well, San Francisco they lost too, yes. And that's a game they should have won. They had control of that game, and then things got away from them towards the end of the first half, and San Francisco took control of the second half and grinded out a win.
Well, you got to play somebody.
So I know, but all I'm saying is the Eagles had the tougher schedules in the first part of the season. Yeah.
They played first place Dallas and were non-competitive in both games.
You're right.
Right? They play Tampa Bay, to be honest with you, they were non-competitive the vast majority of the game. Well, they were down 28-7.
Yeah, they got down 28-7 and then had a big fourth quarter.
They played Kansas City, and Kansas City essentially toyed with them. And, I mean, that's the problem. The problem is they haven't beaten anybody. That's why, no. Does that mean they're going to lose this week? No. I didn't mean that. I'm saying that. I'm explaining where the confusion about them comes in. I don't think anybody knows how good they are. That's my point.
That's totally fair.
In other words, they could very well go and win the game. Right? So let's not pretend they can't. They can. They've got a formula to do it. They've got some personnel that can do it. They've got a way of playing that can do it. The problem is, the perception going in is, nobody knows anything about them. There's not a game you can point to and go, I feel like they've arrived. Which game was that? Hey, I feel like, you know, and this team won 7 of their last 10. They won 7 of their last 10 games. So they've got that momentum part. There's no question they played better. But the issue is, which game was it that made you sit back and go, I think they've arrived. Now, that could be Sunday at 1 o'clock. It could very well be that game. But there's nothing in the regular season that makes you sit back and go, oh, boy, look, Philadelphia is dangerous. Look at what happened. Yeah. People aren't looking at it that way. They have no signature wins. Now, they could have a signature win on Sunday. And then that changes everything. Like, whoa, you know? And believe me, playing on the road, no big deal. That's no big deal. Probably getting away from their own fans probably helps, to be honest with you, because you're all so honest.
Honestly, there might be more green than dark red down there.
No offense, I doubt that.
Come on, Tampa Bay's, it's grown a little bit, but only because they're winning, but I guarantee you it'll be close to...
I was just there. Believe me. You know, the Eagles will have a portion of fans, there's no question about it, but they love that freaking team down there. Tampa Bay, they love them.
I like doing that.
Well, yeah, no, that's the way it is with Florida and Arizona. I mean, you've got a lot of transplants. More Yankee fans, Oriole fans, Red Sox fans show up to see the Rays game than Rays have fans. Same thing in Arizona. Dodgers come to town, and more Dodger fans. There's more Giants fans when they go to Phoenix because there's so many transplants. Cubs play down against the Marlins, or they play the Arizona Diamondbacks. There are way more Cub fans. No question about it. But what happens when a team does start to win, for example, like the Tampa Bay Lightning play at home now, there are way more Lightning fans there than Bruins or Canadians or anything like that, or Maple Leafs, whatever. Okay? Just the way it is.
That's true.
Because they've started winning. And that's how it happened with this team. I mean, I was just there. They don't like the Bucs. They love the Bucs. And Brady's made a big difference in how much they love that team. I mean, they feel like they've got the guy. You know? And that makes a big difference. I mean, the Eagles will have a lot of fans there, but they won't overwhelm even remotely Tampa Bay fans. But I'll say that's been an interesting trend in the NFL. If I'm the NFL, I'm sitting back going, am I sure I'm happy with this? The trend in the NFL is more and more visiting fans are gobbling up tickets in stadiums than home fans. In other words, the home fans are selling their tickets. All right, I got season tickets. All right. And they sell them. So. All right, so let's see. So we got, Tommy McCarthy's going to be on Monday? Oh, good.
Yes, sir. He's calling Eagles Bucks on Sunday for Westwood One.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, Tom and I go back. I want to say Tom and I go back to when he did St. Joe's basketball.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, Tommy and I go way back.
Cool.
I mean, that's where I first met Merrill. Merrill was doing St. Joe's basketball. That's where I first met him.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then we got Jerry today, the King today. Saw the games you guys want to pick. You know, you sure you want to pick those games?
Yeah, I guess. Why not?
They're all playoff games. I'm confused. Really? There you go. All right. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet. You know, the storm's coming in. Time to stock up. Go to Reagan Street. Follow me. Follow me to Reagan Street now. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. Roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Second in on stock up tonight. Don't wait. First game's tomorrow at 4:30. I'll be safely ensconced in a hotel room watching it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Merrill Reese coming up in a few moments. When it's over with, Matt should be calmer.
Always when the great Merrill Reese joins us.
I'm just telling you. It's we only booked him because we need to calm you down. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You know what? Stock up tonight. Yeah, a little weather moving in for the weekend, so stock up tonight. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. With that, we bring in the great man himself, best in the business, Merrill Reese. My friend, welcome. Great to have you with us on a playoff weekend.
Great to be here, Steve. You made me very hungry with the roasted peanuts.
it made me want to leave the show early.
Love roasted peanuts. But anyhow, it's great to be with you on a playoff weekend.
Yes, on a playoff weekend. When did you start to get a feel that this could be a playoff team? Was there a moment, a game, where you thought to yourself, you know what? They've got something here.
Well, there was no one moment. Myself, our producer, Mike Quick, and our spotter, we fill out 3x5 cards after the last preseason game, and we give the order of finish in the NFC East and the records. And I actually picked the Eagles to win the division at 9-8. And I did that. Mike Quick actually won. He didn't have the Eagles record, but he had the correct order of finish. I had the Eagles, Dallas, Washington, New York, and he had Dallas first, so he wins. But regardless of that, I was basing this on the fact that I just don't think this division is very good. I really don't. And yet Dallas did play very well. In stretches, not consistently though, but I love the way this Eagles team has come along. Now they opened the game, opened the season with a resounding win at Atlanta, but after that they were dreadful, and at one point they were 2-5, and I can't tell you at 2-5 that I thought there was any chance that the Eagles were going to end up in the playoffs. But then things started to happen, and I remember they lost, but they showed something against Kansas City. They yep. won at Carolina, and I thought maybe this team's pretty good, because I didn't realize that Carolina was as dreadful as they turned out to be. The Tampa Bay game itself, though, was only 28-22. Bucks, of course, but Tampa Bay could have beaten them. Bruce Arians took his foot off the pedal. Tampa Bay could have beaten them 40-22 if they had wanted to. The Las Vegas game was very, very disappointing. And still, I'm not thinking of playoffs at any point. At Detroit, they buried the Lions, but at that point, Detroit hadn't won a game. I felt pretty good when they played the Chargers tough, because yeah. you know how good Justin Herbert is, and the Eagles had the ball in their hands with a chance to take that lead, and then finally, when they didn't, the Chargers had one more drive and the Eagles couldn't stop them. But once they won at Denver, I'm saying, you know what, this is pretty good. And then they come up and they beat the Saints resoundingly, mm-hmm. and then they had that bad game at the Giants, the one really bad game that Jalen Hurts played. And after that, they ran the table. So I'm thinking, just doing the math in the NFC East and in the whole NFC, I'm thinking after they won that Washington game, they had a chance. And then after they beat the Giants, I'm thinking, you know what? They have a really good chance. And, of course, all the things fell into place, and they beat Washington pretty convincingly in the last game of the last meaningful game of the regular season. The last Dallas game didn't mean a thing.
Statistically, the Eagles are the number one team rushing the football to this point, and it sounds like Miles Sanders has a shot at getting back into this thing.
He's back. We heard from him today. He is back, and they asked Nick Sirianni if he will be limited in how he uses Miles Sanders, and he said absolutely not. He's back. And he's back, and there will be no limitations.
Right. Which is that puts another jump into this running game.
Yeah.
What did you see in the cohesion of the running game between Hurts, the backs, and that offensive line?
The key is definitely there's two keys. The offensive line, even without the starting guards from the beginning of the season, with the anchors of Kelce and Lane Johnson. And Jordan Mailata is terrific. Johnson's had a great season after he had taken a leave of absence, but they're really, really good. But Jalen Hurts, the ability that he has to run gives the defense something else to think about. And that has been a big aid to the running game. You cannot minimize that.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no question about that. Did you see, as the Giants game aside at the Meadowlands, that was just a bad game for Jalen Hurts, did you see an improved accuracy month by month out of Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I did, game by game. I think he's a terrific quarterback. I have been feeling that way since I saw him beat the Saints in his very first appearance last year and watch him at training camp. He has, Steve, a very underrated arm. He's got, and I've read some of the local writers, they talk about the fact that, of course, he has modest arm strength, or he does not have a strong NFL arm. He has a very strong arm. In fact, he has an above-average NFL arm. Do you know at the Combine a couple of years ago when he came out, they test the velocity. The only one who threw the ball with any more velocity than he was Justin Herbert. And
right.
That was only 55 miles an hour to 54 miles an hour. So let me tell you, I've seen him throw rockets. I really have. He's got plenty of arm. I think his mechanics had to be worked with. He had to feel more comfortable throwing in the pocket. But there was a play a couple of weeks ago in Washington where he was under duress, and actually he didn't get the call in, and he came up with the call, his own call at the line of scrimmage, and it turned out to be perfect. And he ran for his life, and then he screeched to a halt and threw an absolute rope to Greg Ward inside the 5-yard line. So believe me, he's got plenty of arm. He's got everything you look for. He's a leader. His teammates love him. He thinks quickly. He is the youngest quarterback who has ever started a playoff game in Eagles history. Mm-hmm. And he's only 23 years old, and I think you're only looking at the surface of how good he's going to be.
See, with Hurts, I always thought it was the opposite. I always thought when I looked at him that he had a great arm in terms of velocity, but I thought he needed to be better just with putting some touch on the ball, getting the ball over a linebacker, lofting it over a corner on timing. I think that's where he's improved, because I've always been one that thought that he had a Roger Clemens kind of arm, and that it's just the touch he needed.
Well, that's because you know football, and I know that every time I hear a Penn State game and how good you are, but you know football. I'm aghast at how many people don't realize how good his arm is, because that's the easiest thing to see. All you have to do is go to training camp and you watch him hum the football. He spins it about as well as any quarterback that I've ever seen in green, with the exception of Michael Vick, who was the ultimate spinner of a football. But it's a beautiful spiral to watch. He throws a great ball. He does.
You also get to watch Devontae Smith up close and personal. It's one thing for all of us to watch a guy like that on TV, Merrill, when he's playing at Alabama, saying, wow, he's so slight, but boy, he always makes plays. In the NFL, they'll hit him. I'm still waiting, Merrill, for somebody to hit him. What gets him off the line of scrimmage with the efficiency he gets?
The moves he has, the quickness he has, the agility he has, and the fact that he came into this league as the most accomplished of the wide receivers as far as running patterns. He really, really has worked at his craft. And he's got great hands. He's got unbelievable hands. And I haven't seen anybody in a long time who is better at that toe tap on the sidelines than he is. He's really a special player. Now, there are the cynics here who say, well, you know, they could have drafted Micah Parsons. And, boy, he's been unbelievable in this league. But you know what? Yeah, maybe they could. But I'm not about to complain when you draft Devontae Smith. If you drafted, say, Jalen Reagor instead of Micah Parsons, then I'd be upset. But but when you get a great player and another great player, you pass by, that's okay with me. At least they didn't miss on that draft pick. They struck gold.
Let me put it this way, Merrill. This is the way I view it. The Eagles needed Devontae Smith and the Cowboys needed Micah Parsons. They both ended up with the right guy.
Right. I just wish it were somebody else than the Cowboys that needed Micah Parsons.
Got to be somebody like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, somebody that played two times every 10 years.
To have to face them twice a year, maybe three. Defensively, what has fallen into place for the Eagles defensively that you and Mike have liked?
That's a tough question. And I say this because as I look at those wins, Steve, the only team, as it turns out, with a winning record that the Eagles have a notch in their belt from is New Orleans. That's the only team. The others, the Giants, the Jets, Washington, Giants again, at Washington again, they're not very good offenses. So I am hesitant to tell you that it's an all-world defense. They've gotten some good pass rush from Josh Sweat, who, by the way, has had abdominal problems this week, and it's a question mark as to whether he's even going to play on Sunday, and that would hurt them. They're missing Brandon Graham, who was the heart and soul of that defense. They're getting play. There's a young linebacker who was a free agent, undrafted, a couple of years ago, T.J. Edwards. He's very good. He's very, very good. He is a starting caliber linebacker.
Loved him at Wisconsin, Merrill. Wisconsin, I loved him. I thought this guy, I didn't think he'd be a star, but I said Jack and I both thought he'll start in the league.
Oh, how could he not be drafted? I think he had a bad pro day time, but he's a great guy, by the way. Bright communications graduate, terrific young man. But he's a good player. And then the guy they called Big Play Slay has had a big play year. I went over to him one day to hand him a CD of one of his a DVD of one of his interceptions, and I said, Darius. He said, "Don't call me Darius. Call me Big Play or Sexy." I said, "Okay." Who am I to argue? I'll stay with Big Play.
I think, to be honest with you, you made the right choice.
He's a character, though. He's one of the most enjoyable people. I mean, he is all fun and games. He just plays with passion, and he's got. Herman Edwards told me 100 years ago that to be a great corner, you have to have a gunfighter's mentality. You have to think that you're the quickest gun in the West. And in his mind, he is. He doesn't think there's a receiver around who can beat him, even if they do. But he has that kind of confidence, and he's been good. And then they added Steven Nelson this year, who was not exactly a perennial all-pro, but he's solid. He's good. Oh, I'll tell you who's had a great season. Great season, Avante Maddox.
Yes.
He's made so many big plays. He is special.
Yeah.
And
really,
then Rodney McLeod saved the Washington game with an interception at the end. And Rodney McLeod is another guy who's a terrific player. He really is.
Obviously, Tampa's not at full strength offensively because, obviously, Chris Godwin came by Penn State's practice before the Outback Bowl. So, he didn't have his surgery yet. We know about the Brown situation. How do you view Tampa at this point of the season?
Very dangerous. I mean, you can take those. This is a team that's so deep that you can take receivers like Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown out of the lineup and still have a lot of dangerous guys. I mean, look at the three tight ends that they have. I mean, the Gronk is all world and has been, and he's still all world. He's just so tough to cover. They also have O.J. Howard, and they also have Cameron Brate. So those are three great tight ends.
Yeah.
And, I heard someone say today, driving home on the radio, that other than Mike Evans, who is also he's got a tight end body and wide receiver skills. He's so good. They said they don't have another wide receiver that scares you. Well, tell you what. I've watched Tampa Bay in the last part of the season, and Breshad Perriman is pretty darn good. He took a while to come into his own, but I remember his dad was a great wide receiver with the Lions years ago. But Rashad Perriman is very, very good. He's not somebody to ignore when you're putting up your defensive game plan.
Merrill, I think it's going to be a fun one on Sunday, and you will give it justice as you always do. Thank you so much for the time today.
Hey, Steve, it's always great speaking with you. Keep up the great work up at State College.
Appreciate it, Merrill. You're the best. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Steve. Take care. Bye-bye.
Merrill Reese, the legendary voice, the Hall of Fame voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. Matt now is gone from confident to cocky.
Actually, I've gone a little bit downward because the Josh Sweat situation worries me a little bit because I do agree. If he can't go, that's a big loss. He's been very, very productive lately.
Honestly, I head into the weekend with no worries. All right.
So I honestly can't tell you right now. We're under an hour away from making picks. I have no idea who I'm picking yet for the Eagles Bucks.
By the way, Jordan Stout got a combine invite. I mean, I've been telling you for a couple months now, a lot of people think he might be the only kicker selected. And you know what? He is going to get a combine invite. Good for him.
Deservedly so.
Here's an interesting stat. Guess who has the most 50-yard-plus plays from scrimmage among running backs since 2018? Derrick Henry is second, by the way, with 11.
It's not Miles Sanders, is it?
No. No.
I was going to say.
Aaron Jones has 8. Nick Chubb has 9. Derrick Henry has 11. This guy has 14. 50-yard plays from scrimmage in the NFL as a running back. Saquon Barkley.
Well, when he's been in there, yeah. That's not surprising.
You're talking about a guy who missed most of all of last season and plays behind an absolutely substandard offensive line. All right, we'll come back. That's amazing. I don't think people realize that. You sound befuddled.
It is stunning just considering the little time he played this year. I mean, again, it just shows you how good he is. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Again. My words better, befuddled. Back with more in a moment. Matt doesn't know what to do. Look, take the loyalty points. Pick your team. Take the loyalty points. Pick your team.
No, I hear you there. I'm also trying
just,
to be real.
Just pick
realistic.
Your team.
We'll find out. We'll find out in a little bit. How about that? Oh. I'll keep you in suspense.
Great, another reason to live. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
I feel like half those public service announcements are aimed at Suit Light.
I just play them. I don't know the backstories.
No, I just put two and two together. I sit back and go, well, that applies to him. That applies to him. Jeez, that one applies to him too. Just trying to put two and two together. Meshes of this station, the ad council, and the suit. Today's show brought to you by, oh, and by the way, Merrill loves, and I think would love to get some of those fresh roasted peanuts from Brewer's Outlet, huh?
Let's hook them up.